This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, friends. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday night at 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or by going to our website at thepeoplespeakradio.net. There you can also listen live to our shows and to our past shows on our iPod Ready Archive section. That's www.thepeoplespeakradio.net. If you have a Nokia phone, you can also listen live via satellite. Just go to the website for details. You know, I'm really pleased to have with us Mr. Ashok Iwahi and Dr. Paul Ratner. They are inventors and developers of a product called Allergen Block. And I'll tell you, I was privileged to have them send me samples of Allergen Block, not only for myself, the adult version, but the version for children, and my grandson, who has been plagued with allergies almost all of his life, was our little family guinea pig. And I'll tell you, gentlemen, it really, really helped. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You have certainly targeted a much-needed concept in a holistic style of health. Ashoki, can you tell us a little of... I'd like to start with Dr. Ratner. Dr. Ratner, can you tell us a little bit about the need for allergy relief and, some of the demographics behind allergies in this country and around the world?
Well, I mean, I think that it's a very, very common problem. It affects perhaps 15% of the U.S. population. That puts you at somewhere around 40 to 50 million people. It is an illness that, although it's not life-threatening for the most part, it has profound effects on the quality of life, how people perceive their ability to be productive, how well they sleep, how well they function, how well children do in school. And so when people are having problems with their allergies, I mean, they know it. And, of course, there are many other complications of uncontrolled allergies, such as asthma, ear infections, sinus infections, and a variety of other things that result if allergies are not controlled.
There's a lot of money spent on allergy relief in the country, Dr. Ratner.
It is. It's billions of dollars. For example, the nasal steroids that people are familiar with, things like Flonase and Nasonex, generate multiples of billions of dollars of sales per year. The antihistamines, the decongestants, and, of course, all the other ancillary medicines people may need to take because of the complications. So we're talking about, multi-billion-dollar expenditures per year that are spent on allergy medications in this country.
I'd like to ask you, considering I do work for a physician, my son-in-law, and we deal with pharmaceutical companies day in and day out. Have you had any resistance to this product from pharmaceutical companies, or any lashback or feedback from pharmaceutical companies?
Well, not directly from pharmaceutical companies, but I mean, I can tell you that, you know, my reaction to this initially when Ashok called me years ago to talk about this, it was a very foreign concept, and I was very skeptical that this was something that really could make a difference. But it's based on, you know, real science. We know it's safe. We know it works from the clinical trials that we've performed. We know it works in the patients that we've tried it on. And I suspect that it's not really perceived as directly competing with prescription medications, but rather more of a first choice or an alternative choice for people that are looking for a safer and more inexpensive way to treat their allergies, who really don't necessarily want to go to the doctor right off and spend the money for an office visit and the medications, but are willing to try something that is benign and safe and may well help their allergies.
You served Dr. Ratner on as chairman of the allergy section of the Texas Medical Association.
Yes.
How are your coworkers and associates feeling about this type of innovation in allergy relief, or any kind of relief, as a matter of, you know, when you're talking about holistic? I mean, obviously, there's going to be a tremendous amount of controversy about these items.
Well, there is controversy, and, you know, there have been a fair number of skeptical physicians out there who question the science underlying it and, of course, would like to see larger, more direct clinical trials comparing this to other medications to actually see how effective this is against other over-the-counter or perhaps even prescription medications. But I think, the word has not really totally gotten out yet, and so it's... because it's not being marketed to physicians, and it's basically being marketed to the public through direct-to-consumer advertising and appears on the shelves as over-the-counter medications, it's not something that, to this point, that has generated a lot of opinion, either positive or negative, on behalf of the doctors. I would say most of them are not totally aware of this product yet or have not had a lot of experience with this product.
Mm-hmm. Ashoki Wahi was the inventor of this product, and the driving force for creating this product was someone close to your heart, Ashoki, was it not?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you tell us about your daughter?
Yes, it was my daughter, Ekta, who used to suffer from cat allergies. Cat allergies are one of the very common allergies in people. And she was young, going to school at that time, and like any other dad, I first reached out to over-the-counter allergy relief medications. And soon we found that she was feeling drowsy in school, amongst other side effects, and I didn't want that to happen, and that led me to think about the problem. And what I was focusing on was that I could somehow block the allergens from going into the nose, that would stop the allergies. So it's a preventative treatment, and I succeeded, you know, after extensive research and trial and error, and finally, the story did have a happy ending. We have now chloroceptic allergen block and little allergies allergen block for kids 12 and younger. They're both topical gels that you just apply one or two drops around your nostrils and upper lip. They act like invisible filter, and allergens just don't go in your nostrils to cause allergies.
Now, Ashoki, the type of this drug-free gel, it's said to be positively charged. Can you tell us exactly what that means, sir?
Yes. As you know, opposite charges attract each other. The gel is positive, cationic, and almost all allergens that are airborne, they have an ambient, a natural negative charge on them. So when they come very close to your nose, as if they were going to be inhaled, rather than going inside the nostrils, they go to the gel, and they stay outside, and they don't reach the mucosa, which is a sensitive mucous membrane where the allergic reaction triggers.
So it's actually attracted to the gel as opposed to being attracted to the being inhaled into the nasal passages.
That is correct.
Can you tell me how you did this transition, and how did you transition from engineering to allergy relief? And I mean, what was what drove you to that? And it was there a transition, or were you basing this on some engineering principles and concepts?
It's a very good question. You know, you have to be, you know, you have to be wearing those shoes to feel where it hurts. My daughter, who's an excellent student, who used to be an excellent student at that time, and honestly, I couldn't figure out whether the side effects from the over-the-counter drugs she was taking were worse, or was the allergy itself was bad. Its motivation, triggered by a need, as they call it, necessity is mother of invention. I was not happy with the treatments or our remedy towards allergies, and it made me think. And I thought, you know, there has to be a different, altogether different approach to the problem. And the problem of allergens, if we can avoid that, if we can avoid inhaling them, of course, nobody can wear a mask all the time, or you cannot insert a filter, mechanical filter inside your nose. It will restrict the airflow. So the filter had to be invisible. That was the challenge. The moment I felt that the filter has to be invisible, and you know, I mean, I started working towards that, and then I found out that the charge itself, it's a property of all matter. You know, they have some kind of charge on that. That's what I utilize. It's a scientific principle. It's a very simple principle, like principle of gravity, and it works.
Very interesting. You know, I know that as a person that has suffered with a tremendous allergy to dust, actually, for me, that was the allergen block worked remarkably well. My grandson, who used the children's version of the allergen block, also has many allergies, not only to dust, but to airborne pollens and issues with cat allergies as well. My concern is that we have a lot of environmental allergies that are now affecting the population. I would first like to ask Dr. Ratner to address the issue of environmental allergies, and perhaps both of you can respond as to how and if allergen block actually works with environmental allergies as well.
Well, I mean, this medication this product should work with any type of allergen, regardless of whether it's indoor, outdoor, seasonal or perennial on a year-round basis. The principle is the same. Since they all acquire the charge when they become airborne and are oppositely attracted to the allergen block gel, then it will work for any type of allergen, including environmental allergens. I imagine you're talking about things inside the house, like pets, cats and dogs, house dust mite.
Well, not just that, but there's a lot of chemical allergies that people some people are hypersensitive. I know I have a lot of friends that are extremely sensitive. And even fragrances are affect them. Can this product actually help with that type of...
Well, we don't know that because we really haven't looked at that. And you have to sort of differentiate when you use the word allergy. You're talking about a specific type of reaction, a particular type of immune reaction, which occurs when the pollen, which is primarily a protein, comes in contact with the inside of the nose and stimulates the cells inside the nose to release these mediators, things like histamine, which cause the sneezing and the itchiness and the runny nose and the congestion. So we know that it works for that model. When you're talking about other chemicals, those, as you said, may be more of an irritant effect or a hypersensitivity effect, and don't necessarily act in the same way and are not necessarily the same kind of a product that a pollen is. And I guess the bottom line answer is we don't know, since we have not looked at that. I'll have to defer to Ashok if he can answer that from an engineering standpoint.
Right. Let me just clarify, Basima, that for example, in developing countries, environmental pollution, like fumes from the automobiles and trucks and other vehicles, is a big problem. I have a nephew in India, and he smells when he says, when he smells diesel's, you can say, fumes from any vehicle, his allergies trigger. And he's been using the product for many, many years, and he says that after he applies it, he just doesn't smell anything like that, meaning that it doesn't cause the same irritating effect. The airborne allergen, whether they are seasonal or perennial, whether they are man-made or God-made, no matter how they are generated, if they are airborne, they will acquire certain charge. And this product, this concept works on all airborne allergens. Some people are allergic to just fog, you know. I mean, it's very you can say unique, very ironic that people are allergic to fog, you know, something as simple, as small as that. As they inhale it, at the same time, when they apply the product, if it has a charge, it will go to the gel rather than going inside and triggering the reaction. So we haven't done widespread studies in that because nobody has approached us. But the scientific principle does not distinguish how the allergen was created and what time of the year the allergen is more prevalent.
You know, you brought something up that's very interesting. Does it hinder any of the being a positive charge? And rejecting anything that enters into the nasal passages and attracting it to the gel, do you lose anything as far as the sense of smell? Is that inhibited in any way?
It depends how the smell is being carried. If it's a fume or a fragrance, I mean, to be honest, I test the product differently. You know, I don't have any allergies, but customers or companies have approached us to create different fragrance for the product itself. You know, there's certain fragrances people like, and we tried that. So that means the fragrance is not affected if it's not being carried by any particulate matter.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, we have a couple of questions here. Miriam from England says, black seed oil is used to cure all ailments in the Middle East. Will you be using this too in your products?
No, the answer is no. We don't need anything to be added, especially oil-based substance in our product. It's a safe water base as is. There are other, there may be other botanicals which people may have more faith in. Our concept is totally different. The science behind the product is totally different, and what we have works, and it's been validated by the FDA registration that we have, that it's efficacious as well as safe.
Thank you. Mike in California asks, will the allergen block product also filter out dust, as many people are allergic to dust?
Yes. It works with dust and dust mites equally well. Dust, Mother Nature, is negatively charged. Everyone knows that. And when it becomes airborne, it's an irritant for many people. About one-sixth of the population has allergies. Out of them, I would say a good two-thirds of them suffer from dust allergies of one kind or the other. And it's very effective on that.
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to tell you both, congratulations on the packaging design. This is absolutely beautiful. Was this something that you guys had an input in, or was it specifically designed by Chloraseptic?
Well, we'd like to take credit for it, but it was all done by Prestige Brands, who was the manufacturer of Chloraseptic, and who had all the input basically into the design of the both the product and the packaging.
Very nice.
Prestige Brands did an excellent job with the packaging. That's a company bringing out innovative products, and we looked at it and we said, "Wow, that's how attractive the packaging is," and that's the type of reaction we get from some of the customers. It's an attractive display when it's on a shelf in a store, and it describes on the reverse how the product is to be applied, and Prestige did an excellent job.
Can I ask you, gentlemen, first of all, what kind of a shelf life? I mean, this is a water-based product. It is positively charged. So we're talking about, is there a diminishment as in shelf life prior to its being opened and after it's being opened?
No shelf life. There's no expiration on the product. The charge does not disappear. It's a scientific principle. We have gel that we had experimented with about 10 years ago. It still has its anti-stat cationic property, even though aesthetically it's not as good or pleasing to look at. But no, there's no shelf life on the product, and it does not expire.
And so it won't hurt anybody if they have it around for a while.
Yes, but it does not last more than a year, right?
And it still works, even if it's older than a year?
Yes, it still works.
Very nice. How did you become involved with Allergen Block, Dr. Ratner?
Well, Ashok had this product, and he knew that in order for this product to be successful from a marketing standpoint, which, of course, you know, there are many wonderful products out there that never make it to the stage that Allergen Block has made it to, because they don't have people like Prestige Brands behind them, backing them and marketing it for them. He knew that he needed to take the next step, and I think that he realized the next step was to add some scientific validity to this and to design some clinical trials that would show how effective this product was, and also to get this product registered through the approval process of the Food and Drug Administration with the ability to label it effective for the treatment of allergies. And so he called me, I believe at this point it was 4 or 5 years ago, and really was looking for someone. I had been doing research for over 20 years, clinical trials, primarily in the area of allergies and asthma, which is my specialty, and we got together and I began to make some suggestions about some clinical trials and some regulatory maneuvers that we would need to do to get this product to the next step. We knew that if we got it, that we could show that it was effective for the treatment of allergies and get it registered for the Food and Drug Administration as a treatment for allergies, that perhaps a company such as Prestige would be interested in licensing this product and marketing it as well.
Oh, you bring up an interesting point, but before I address, I think I will address that right now. You speak of the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Now,
yes.
I know for a fact the nightmare involved in getting something passed through that, because I have a nephew who is a chemical engineer, and he developed a heart valve that he is still, after 12 years, trying to get approved through FDA.
Yeah.
How did you manage to get that through?
Well, one of the things that we were very fortunate with is that, number one is, we went through the device division of the Food and Drug Administration rather than the therapeutic drug division. And they have very interesting and very strict guidelines that if there is what's called a predicate product out there that's been approved, and you can show that you're as good or better or as effective as the predicate product, that they will grant the same basic approval process. And there had been a product called Allergol, which was basically a Russian product. It was a gel that was applied inside the nose. It did not have an electrostatic charge or anything similar to what Ashok has described to you, but actually worked more as a barrier inside the nose to actually bind the pollen. So once there's a device out there that's considered a predicate, and you can show that you're as good as or better than that product, you don't have to go through all the hoops that you've described with your nephew of going through the myriad of clinical trials and regulatory approval process that you would need. So we designed some trials that were done to compare it to this predicate product, Aligol, showed that in most instances it was more effective than that product, and based on that, we were granted the registration from the Food and Drug Administration and the ability to market this product as a treatment for allergies.
So what you're saying in effect, Dr. Ratner, is that this is actually like establishing a precedent has already been set for this type of innovative product, and from there it makes the process easier.
Yes, exactly. Now, even though they're both nasal gels, that's somewhat where the similarity ends. Again, you know, this is applied outside on the upper lip and outside the nose, whereas the Aligol was applied inside the nose. The Aligol was not electrostatically charged, but because they were both nasal gels or cream products for the treatment of allergies, allergen block was considered to be a subsequent generation to the predicate device, and basically was approved on that basis. That's one of the better things about going through the device division, because if there are predicate devices out there, you can get that kind of approval. That's not something that exists in the therapeutic drug area. Now, this was not considered a drug because it contains no drug. It contains no medication. It's simply a charged electrostatic gel. And so by being able to go that route, we were able to cut many, many years off the approval process for this product.
Very interesting. And, you know, when you talk about, when you say something like that, I start to think about the concept of the FDA, and, you know, you're talking about a food and a drug affiliation, but technically this is neither. This is an application.
It's an application and it's a device, but it is something that's used in humans, and it is used for the treatment of a particular disease state, so it comes under the purview of the Food and Drug Administration. I mean, the Food and Drug Administration is primarily concerned with safety. Efficacy is important, but they don't take the position that it's their job to determine how much better something works than something else. If you design your studies properly and show that the medication does what you say, that the medication or the product does what you say it does, and it's safe, they will approve that product. But safety is paramount, and of course here there were absolutely no concerns about the safety of this product. I mean, there was no question this was a safe product, that it could be taken by anyone, children, adults, it could be taken by anyone on other medications, it could even be taken by pregnant women. And so because it was so safe, and because we had shown that it worked as well as the other device that had already been approved, they were happy to facilitate and expedite that process of getting it registered.
Very interesting. For those who have just joined us, we are speaking with inventor and developers of Allergen Block, a new product on the market, a water-based gel that helps inhibit allergens from entering into the nasal passage, Mr. Ashok Wahi, an engineer, and Dr. Paul Ratner, who has specialized in a lot of, if I'm not mistaken, pediatric as well.
Pediatric and adult. I'm an allergist, and I'm also a clinical researcher as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. This product, is really quite amazing, actually. I think the simplicity is what really attracted me to really looking at it as much as I did. And again, not so much for me, but as a parent and a grandparent, we always place our children in the forefront of our concerns. And my daughter didn't have to give her son medication. He has an allergy to all of the things that are included here. Many of the products that Allergen Block inhibits is ragweed, pollen, dust mites, pet dander, and house dust. Well, he has an allergy to all of those, but this has been very, very helpful for him. And this product is easy, folks. I mean, all you do is put a little bit on your fingers and rub it between your fingers and then apply it to the outside of your nose and on the top of your upper lip.
Right.
And what happens is basically it becomes this wall to allergens,
exactly.
To airborne allergens. And it's quite incredible, actually.
It's colorless.
Yeah, it's very well.
You've described it extremely well. And it's inexpensive. It roughly, a tube that provides 150 applications costs around $15 in most stores. So you're talking about 10 cents an application to put this on. So it's a very inexpensive way as a first-line treatment for allergies.
Ashok, you had something that you wanted to add to that?
I'm just amazed by the clarity of your concept or understanding of a product. Even I won't have that nice an explanation. I guess you have experience with your own family and children and grandchildren. What most people like about the product is that it's been invented by a dad for his own daughter. That was the motivation. You look around from A to Z, there's a drug available, and this is the only one where the true motivation was that my own child should not suffer from a simple situation or a disease like allergy. And that's what I was faced with. And fortunately, the effort worked, and the company, Prestige Brands, did an excellent job in bringing it to the people, both for in a placement where kids can find it, or meaning parents can find it, as well as adults. Both can find the product, Chloraseptic, for adults and little allergies. They're placed in the same store in two different places. So if the parents are looking there, they're well aware of the Little Remedies brand, and they know where to go to get treatment for their kids and grandkids. And when something is so simple, it causes skepticism too. Just like Dr. Ratner said, I was very fortunate to meet him. He's a brilliant doctor. I searched him through my Google internet search a few years ago, and he was very skeptical like other people. How come something so simple can work? And as an inventor, that was, more hesitation people had, more confident I felt that this would work. And every day we get testimonials either through Prestige or people calling us, sending us an email from all over the world saying that my child or grandchild used to suffer from something like that. And the other great benefit is that if somebody already has a disease like diabetes or asthma or something chronic, and they are already on drugs, allergies compounds that situation. And if they take another drug, the interactions between the two drugs worsen the situation exponentially. And if they treat their allergies with allergen block, they're not taking any drugs. So that interaction part goes away, and they're happier by use of allergen block.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We've got some more questions from our audience and our listeners. But we're going to be taking a short break right now. For those of you that have just joined us, we are talking with Ashok Wahi and Dr. Paul Ratner about a new product from Chloraseptic called Allergen Block. Mr. Wahi is the inventor and the gentleman that both helped to develop this product. We will be back in just a few minutes to continue our discussion of this product, which I find to be quite remarkable. Having personally tried it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
We used to write letters to each other a lot, and it was intimidating to talk to him sometimes because he just seemed so isolated by himself.
She started talking about how she wishes that her life was over and she wishes that she was never born.
So I knew he had depression, but I didn't know it was that far.
Said something to me about killing himself.
Tell somebody, tell an adult, counselor, parent, whatever.
It's a hard situation because you do risk making that person very angry and losing their friendship.
It would have been horrible for me if she never talked to me again, but I'd live with it because I know she'd be alive.
Definitely worth getting help, even if you think you're going to lose a friendship, because it's better to lose the friendship than the actual friend.
Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. For more information, contact the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 888-333-AFSP, or online at afsp.org.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact the world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the world for clothing.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city wall by the relief from fast summer people.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the People Speak Radio Show. We have with us tonight a couple of very interesting guests, Ashok Wahi and Dr. Paul Rettner. These gentlemen have been involved in the inventing and developing of an incredible product called Allergen Block. Now, Allergen Block is a water-based gel that applied to the nasal, to the outside of the nose and the upper lip, actually helps inhibit airborne allergens from entering into the nasal passages, thereby helping to avert allergic reaction completely, really. I mean, you know, if the allergens don't come into the nose, then there's a big product. Now, there is a question, there's a couple of questions that I'd like to ask. Real quick, I'd like to ask, Doctor, now, obviously the allergens are, and the allergen block works around the nasal passages.
Right.
How does airborne allergen enter into the mouth?
Well,
and does that have any effect?
Well, of course. I mean, you can get lower respiratory symptoms from allergy. I mean, that can be the result of the allergens entering into the nose and then triggering a reaction that way and getting the drainage down the back of the throat. Or you can directly inhale allergens through the mouth. Although, you know, most people do not mouth breathe particularly unless their nose is particularly congested and blocked off. But there is some absorption, and there are instances of allergies directly affecting the lower airways, causing an asthma condition. Now, clearly in that case, this product would not be of much value, although it would continue to block the major entry point of allergens, which is the nose.
Thank you. You know, we've got a couple of questions from our listeners. Kathy in Texas, doctor, asked, has allergen block been subjected to double-blind studies and in a peer-reviewed journal?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, clearly that's somebody who understands the clinical research product. It is not, we have not published any of the data in any peer-reviewed journals on this product, and the studies that were done in a double-blind fashion, where, in other words, where the patients did, where the subjects did not know what they were taking, but they have not been published, and that's really a decision that was made at this point. It is not something that we necessarily would not consider in the future, but the studies that were done were not the same type of studies that you would be seen done in a medication or a drug that would undergo the approval process, where the numbers that would be required to do a study like that would be much, much larger and would require, a much more sophisticated design and statistical analysis. So these were done in smaller numbers of subjects where we were looking primarily at trends and statistical significance compared to the predicate product that we talked about previously. So it's a little bit different than the process that we talked about, the difference between a device approval process and a drug approval process, and so it has not been published, but it doesn't mean that it won't be. We just have not necessarily gotten around to writing any papers or even thinking about publishing it at this point.
Now, let me ask you, isn't there a time period that's involved in double-blind studies? If I'm not mistaken, it's something like 10 years or something like that?
You mean time from when?
Time from the beginning of the study itself to the end result.
Oh, no, it would depend on what disease you're studying. When you do a study, for example, in allergies, most of those studies are only 2 weeks long.
I see.
You know, the patients are randomized in a double-blind fashion to one of the treatments or placebo. The patients keep diary scores for 2 weeks, and the study is completed and the data analyzed. I mean, typically that's done in the context of one single season. So those studies, really from start to finish, can only be 2.5-3 months before they're completed. If you're talking about something more chronic, like, let's say, diabetes or heart disease, those studies can go on, or cancer studies, those studies can go on for years. But the length of the study is really determined by the disease that you're studying, and most acute allergy studies only last, the patients only take the medication for about a 2 week period.
Mm, very interesting. Do you have anything to add to that, Ashok?
It's an excellent question, if I can jump in a little bit. The studies were done, performed by independent labs, and in addition to the double blind study that Dr. Etner referred to, in a product like allergen block, they are lab studies, which is more for like test bench type of studies, because the nature of the science which is behind it, and there's pollen counting machine which uses certain gels, not necessarily our type of gel, and our product was tested side by side with that gel in those machines. And we proved much better than in a dry gel versus a wet silica gel that captures pollen from the air. So there was enough scientific information gather to convince FDA to register the product. And at a future point, prestige brands may want to conduct similar more studies and would like to publish, but we're not at that point yet. Today, the product is working efficaciously from all the evidence we're getting so far from people.
Yeah, let me what Ashok is saying is basically, in addition to the human trials that were done in this, there were also many other laboratory and bench trials looking at the trapping power and the ability of this this product to actually trap pollen. But, you know, at some point in the future, and that, of course, a lot of that will be up to prestige as to whether this is compared to known other over-the-counter medications or compared in any other way, I think that's something that is yet to be determined.
Well, I know that your interest is that to really expound upon the fact that this is a very inclusive product, and it doesn't just deal with specific allergens and airborne allergens, but just about every kind of allergen that's out there.
Exactly,
is that true?
It doesn't discriminate between any type of allergen. It'll work for any allergen product, any allergy out there. Airborne allergen out there, it'll work for.
Now, let me ask you. I mean, as a person that's allergic to dust, I mean, I have a very, very severe allergy to dust, and I have a number of filtration systems in my home. And even with those, and this reminds me kind of like the ozone type of product of equipment that I have in my home that help push away the or attract the allergens to them. Is it similar to that?
For sure.
No, absolutely not. The ionizers, so to speak, there are several of them available. They use a different principle. They first charge particles of the air, ionize them, and then throw them or circulate or distribute inside the entire room, and then they collect them back on a collecting plate in that device. And if you see or you use them, you'll notice that the wall around that device has a lot of particles sticking to the wall. By just mere the fact that it ozonizes oxygen, O3 versus O2 has more atomic weight, it's heavier to breathe, and you'll see there's a disclaimer on the product saying that people with asthma and respiratory ailments should not use that product. This is not the principle for allergen block. It's a normal ambient air that people oxygen, people breathe. Those products can be effective, but it's like if you were to drink a glass of water and you have to filter the entire pond to do that, you're cleaning the whole room of allergens just because you're going to breathe a little bit there. This is only point of use product there is available. It's just outside your nose. It filters only what you're going to inhale, and it works.
Oh, great. We've got a couple of more questions that we'd like to get in from our listening audience. Madeline in North Carolina, she says, I work at an allergy clinic. What has been the reaction to allergen block among doctors in the allergy field?
Well, I think like anything else, I mean, people who have negative opinions are usually somewhat more vocal than those who have positive opinions. And so, we have seen periodic blogs and websites and emails back and forth from a variety of physicians who, have expressed a tremendous amount of skepticism about that this product actually does what it says it's going to do. Most of them have not really taken the opportunity to try the product on their patients. They're just basically, I think, reacting to it on a gut level and being somewhat dismissive of it. I mean, having had that same feeling when Ashok first called me, I certainly understand that skepticism. It almost sounds like it's too good to be true. It can't possibly be that simple and work and be that effective. And so I think there is some skepticism, and I think that it's the kind of thing. I think that it's going to be more of a grassroots movement. I think the impetus for buying it and using it is going to come more from the public than it's going to come from the physicians recommending it and referring it. I don't expect that we're going to get the allergists out there who are going to, you know, say, well, you don't need to come see me. You can go over to, you know, to Walmart and spend $15 and buy a product that may do the same thing that, you know, that I'm going to give you with a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't know how it stacks up against everything else, but certainly there is resistance in the, but I understand that a lot of that resistance is not necessarily based on science and knowledge, but more just, I think, on a gut reaction. I think most of the people that we've seen or heard that have really been negative about this product have had really little to no experience in using this product in their patients, and I think like anything else that takes hold, it's going to be word of mouth, I think, more among people with allergies like yourself who are going to tell other people about it and who are going to go use
mm-hmm.
it. I think that's going to drive the sales of this product. We've talked a lot about taking it from the other angle and, you know, trying to educate physicians about it. I mean, I think one of those ways to do that perhaps would be a peer review article or something would get into the medical literature. But I think the decision's been made for the time being, you know, on the part of Prestige and their marketing people to primarily, market this as a direct-to-consumer and as an over-the-counter product, and really not expecting most physicians to say, go out and buy this product. I think that's probably asking a little bit much right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Eric in Iowa asked a very good question, I think. My question is, people with sensitive skin, can they use this product without fear of rash or drying skin out?
Absolutely. There's no concern whatsoever that this product will cause. It's not an antihistamine. It doesn't have any steroid in it. There's nothing in it. It's just a water-based gel. There's nothing in it that would irritate or make an existing skin condition any worse.
Thank you. Ashok, how long did it take you to develop this product?
It's a somewhat difficult question to answer, but I'll try my best. Very early on, when I knew that I have to create something invisible filter, I was able to track down there were some naturally existing beeswax which had some cationic strength in them. I would say the pure research took about 1 to 2 years on a water-based formulation. And after that, it was refinement of the product, creating the product with the increased strength. So I would say 2 years plus was the overall development time for the product.
Interesting. And did you have any other collaboration with, say, allergens or other engineers outside of Dr. Ratner when you were first developing this?
My daughter was helping me. She was the in-house guinea pig. I had her try something new almost every second month, and she still is a person I trust because she gives me an honest opinion that if something is working better or different. Dr. Ratner, I approached a little later in the development process because I knew without medical community support, I would face an insurmountable resistance, and I searched for the right person. He's a very well-known, well-read, well-traveled allergist, asthma specialist. He knows children's allergy problems very well. Initially, there was a skepticism on his part. He was hesitant. I sent, I think, about 20 samples, which he had some of his patients try it, and as he was saying before, that the most of the negative reaction we get is from people who have never tried the product. They will just dismiss it without trying and saying or thinking that it's more like a snake oil, but it's farthest from the truth. I'm Master of Science from Brooklyn Polytechnic, part of NYU now, I'm a mechanical engineer. I didn't want to give anything to my daughter which would be unsafe and non-efficacious. If you keep that in mind, the negative part that goes away, and just because it's inexpensive, just because people think it won't work, it doesn't mean it won't work. For the longest period of time, people fell down first flat. And, you know, I mean, once they found out what the truth is, nobody talks about it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we also, and Basmi, I mean, just to be fair, I mean, we did consult with many other people, you know, both in the medical field and the regulatory field, and, you know, on how to, you know, best go about designing these trials and pushing this through the regulatory process. So it wasn't just the two of us. We, Ashok has had input from many other people during the course of these past couple years who have, you know, kind of guided him along the path to get it to the point that it is right now.
That's correct, right. I overlooked saying that.
Well, you know, Dr. Rettner, do you consider, and do you and Ashok consider this to be a homeopathic or holistic product, or are
you marketing it as a traditional
over-the-counter?
Well, I mean, I do consider it that if it's in a positive connotation. Lots of times when you say the word holistic or homeopathic, it's sort of synonymous.
Bells and whistles go off. Believe
yeah,
me, I know,
you know
I'm a Reiki master, and I've been in holistics for many, many years,
right.
So I know those bells and whistles well.
Exactly. But if you define holistic and homeopathic as, you know, non-medication, safe, easy to use, available, you know, yes, then I do. In that sense, that it's a natural type of product in the sense that it contains no drug and contains no medication. So if that's the definition of holistic or homeopathic, yes, it is. And I think that's going to be the appeal of this product, is that parents who are always concerned about what they put into their children are going to look at this product and feel a lot more comfortable in using this product on a day-to-day basis than they are, for example, perhaps an antihistamine or a decongestant or a nasal steroid. And like Ashok said, and look at all the side effects that can possibly happen, the sedation, the difficulty sleeping, the school performance, all the issues he confronted with his daughter. People are concerned about those things, and if we can give them a safety margin to feel that they can use this comfortably without having those concerns, they're going to be much more apt to want to go to this product than perhaps to something else. Same thing with adults, people that take other medications, blood pressure medications, people with prostate problems, diabetics, pregnant women, who are all going to feel a lot more comfortable about taking this and not worrying about it interacting with their disease or the other medications they need to take.
Well, that's a wonderful thing in and of itself. Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for being with us tonight. Do you have any closing thoughts for us on your product? Again, Chloraseptic Allergen Block. That is the name of the product.
And little allergen block, yeah. Well,
allergen
just,
block, yeah.
Just, you know, people, you know, I think it's like, you know, I used to tell my kids, I mean, you can't say you don't like broccoli or cauliflower unless you try it. And I think that this is a very inexpensive thing to try. We encourage people, go out, you know, buy a tube of it, try it, make your own opinion, see what you think. And we think that the vast majority of people will find that it does do what it says it's going to do, and that hopefully it will help them.
Excellent. And you, Ashok, do you have anything else?
Yes, and if it helps them, they should tell others. And actually, we both thank you for giving us up to talk to your listeners and entertain their questions. They were very well put questions, and we'll be very pleased if people, if they don't have to take drugs for a simple situation like this, try Allergen Block, and they'll have their own opinion. Chloraseptic Allergen Block and Little Allergies for kids 12 and younger. They're both non-drug, no side effect, water-based, safe, efficacious products.
And you do have a website, gentlemen, correct?
Yeah, there are two websites. It's called www.allergenblock.com, one word, and also www.littleallergies.com, one word there too. And Prestige Brands is a marketing company. They have put it in over 30,000 stores nationwide. They are available in Walmart and Kmart and CVS and Walgreens and many stores. Very difficult to name here. It's very readily available. And if it's not on the counter, they can tell the pharmacist, you know, I mean, maybe they're running out of stock on that or whatever, but it's it should be available in most stores nationwide, just because allergies, the spring season is around the corner. They should go out and try this if they suffer from spring allergies.
Well, I'll tell you guys, no shelf life, works forever. Blocks, and it's indiscriminate. Go out and get yourself a tube. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us tonight. The developers of Allergen Block by Chloraseptic. Good night. And ladies and gentlemen, our next week's guest is Greta Berlin, co-founder of FreeGaza.org. Greta has been an advocate for justice for the Palestinians since the early 60s. We're looking forward to speaking with her in light of all that's happening in the Middle East today. Good night. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been an honor and a pleasure, and good luck with your product. Thank you very much, everyone. And thanks, guys, for the questions. What a wonderful and incredibly informed audience, as I've always said about our audience at the People Speak Radio. Good night, all.
Thank you very much.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea by the relief of fast I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest.